We're looking at the character quality method of Bible study. Character quality method. And what this is simply that you look in the Word of God, find a character quality. You hope that it'll be some quality for you. And then you study it. And that study should bring about in you the desire, first of all, to have that character quality, and then the desire to work on it until you get it. So it simply is looking at one character quality that you don't have in your life and would like to have in your life, or maybe it's not a matter of whether you like to have it in your life or not, but you ought to have it in your life, and so you are convicted that you ought to do it. Character quality. So there are nine steps here, and we've done a couple of them, and we'll look at a few more tonight. The first thing you got to do is name the quality. And the second thing is you name the opposite quality. Usually there is an opposite quality to it. And then the third thing is you do a simple word study, and then you find a cross reference. Now, I hope that you are taking this seriously, because if you are, it can make a great difference in your life. The Lord wants you to be a different person than you are, and this is how you go about it, through Bible study. 2 Peter chapter 1 shows this truth, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence. You notice that. I just said take it seriously, giving diligence. In other words, you've got to work at it. You've got to be convinced of it, and you've got to work at it. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make yet you be, neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, there is an extremely important truth in this passage that I have just read. You give diligence, in other words, it's a very serious matter to you to work at, giving diligence. Add. And it says add. So the first thing you have when you got saved was faith. Add to faith virtue, and then to virtue knowledge. This is a pattern of the Christian life. When you get saved, you aren't automatically like Jesus Christ. When you get saved, you are not automatically the godly person that you ought to be. And so there is an adding. We'll use that word because that's what it says. There is an adding. You should be adding qualities to your Christian life year by year as you grow in Him. Now, I took one of these. I took one of these because the way I want to demonstrate to you, and if you're writing these things down in notes and the questions we have and such, it will help you do this study if you so desire. But the way for me to best show you how to do this Bible study is by selecting a certain character quality and then going through the steps on how to make this part of your life. Now, the character quality that I took here was in verse 6, add to knowledge temperance. That's the one I took, temperance. I picked this because it means self-control. Now, temperance is one of these kind of words. Words have a way of changing over the course of years by the way that they're used. And temperance became a use for just people who exercise self-control to not drink booze. And it narrowed itself from a broad area of self-control in every area of your life to just the area of booze. However, what we're concerned with is what God said. And what God said, the word that God used in this passage of Scripture that has been translated temperance, means self-control. Now, I've picked that to be the character quality that we're going to use to illustrate how to do the character quality method of Bible study. So, we've already said, name the quality, name the opposite. What's the opposite of temperance? It's lack of self-control. And we'll see some of those. We'll see some of those. The third thing is, do a simple word study. Now, how do you do a simple word study? And number three. Well, I brought my library with me tonight. And it's all under here in a secret magical place. Actually, it's only two books, but it takes something to carry them because they're a bit thick. This is a wonderful volume right here that I have in front of me, and I would suggest to you that you give your husband this for a present, or he can give you this for a present. Somebody can give somebody for a present. It's a good one. This one says regular $13.95, thumb index $15.95. You don't need thumb indexed. Who uses a thumb index? Anybody here use a thumb index? When you see that thumb index, you go right to it. Anybody do that? Okay, I didn't think so. And maybe I've had this for a while and it costs more now. I don't know. But this is called an Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words by W.E. Vine. Just remember, Vine's Dictionary. All right? Vine's Expository Dictionary. What this does is really wonderful. This is a wonderful book. If you have, in fact, the two books that I'm about to show you, if you have these two books, I mean, you can just about show up any preacher that comes here and preaches and says the Greek word means or something like that, because you have these books and the subject matter. What this does is it takes the word and it gives you the Greek word. You don't have to worry about that. You don't know Greek, doesn't matter, because it's all written in English so that you know it. But what you're getting is you're getting the definition of the Greek word, just as if you were a Greek scholar were doing it. You know, when a Greek scholar looks at, you know, he reads his Greek New Testament, you know, and he comes to the word. And then he wants to see what it means, and so he goes to his lexicon. He looks it up in his lexicon to see what it means. And so you do it even easier. You just get this book out, you read it in English, and look it up in here, and you know the same thing he knows. Isn't that right, Pastor Brooks? So much for Greek. Now, there's still a good reason to take Greek, but I do want to illustrate that to you so that you're not going to be able to understand all of the difference in tenses and things like that. So that is different. But here I come to it. All right, so we're on number three in this character study method is do a simple word study. So you do a simple word study, you turn in your Vines, and you look up the word temperance. And there it is. And it's got the Greek word in English. It's got the Greek word in Greek. And then it tells you what it's from, and you don't even have to worry about all that. And then the next thing you know, you read along, you say, oh, there it is, 2 Peter 1, 6, twice. Here's what it says. In all of which it is rendered temperance, the RV margin, self-control is preferable rendering, as temperance is now limited to one form of self-control. That's what I just said to you before. The various powers bestowed by God upon man are capable of abuse. The right use demands the controlling power of the will under the operation of the Spirit of God. So there's your word study. So you don't have to remember everything I said. Just that he says it's self-control and that the various powers bestowed by God upon man are capable of abuse. You can abuse those powers. So it shows that the word study has to do with self-control, and when you have read that, you see, you may find that, you might look that up in your English dictionary and find that that's exactly what it says in the English dictionary. But this way you know that that's exactly what God meant when he said it, because they'll have spelled it out to you here, and when you do the simple word study, that book will take care of that. Now, the next thing you do, number four, is you find some cross references. What are cross references? That's other places in the Bible where temperance or self-control are used. Now, the best way to do this is not necessarily with your big fat concordance, though that's a good way to do it. Even better than that is this volume, just as thick as the last one and heavy. You saw me carry him in. I carried him in that way because I didn't want to wreck my Bible, which was in there too. That's the only reason. But this is called Knave's Topical Bible. And I always felt that a lot of preachers, like Billy Graham, they just preach from this. You know? Just open that baby up, you know? You want to see instruction of children? It gives you all the verses. You know, write them down. Write 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, give a few illustrations, and you got a sermon. You know, that's how valuable this thing is. So, this is Knave's Topical Bible. Don't get the skinny one. Get the big one because it gives you everything in it. Now, why is this so valuable? Well, I'll turn to Temperance, and I will show you why. Temptation was long, see. Temperance. Temperance, he's got listed all kinds of verses, and not only does he have it listed, but all the verses are there, so you can read them. So, in effect, you don't have to have your Bible with you. You can read those verses. Now, listen to the first one he has listed. Esther 1:7, and they gave them drink in vessels of gold, vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel. And so forth. What you have here is not just the word temperance, which if you were doing a cross-reference with your concordance, you'd be looking under temperance, and it would just give you the number of times temperance was used and the reference. With this, it gives you the subject matter. So a lot of these verses that are in here do not have the word temperance or self-control in, but they've got the concept of temperance and self-control, and that's what you want to learn. All right? Cross-reference. So we'll go to one here, Proverbs 23. Turn to this, all right? Here's one that's listed under temperance. Turn to this one, Proverbs 23, 1. 1, 2, 3, actually. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Now, is the word temperance there? No, it isn't. But what's it talking about? It's talking about self-control. What kind of self-control? Self-control when you eat. Now, I didn't mean this to be a convicting message about people who eat too much, but you know, that's what it says. You sit before a king. Listen, what would that mean? When you read that, what impact might that have on you? What impact might that have on you? It should have some impact on you. Because you think about it. Maybe you're going out to eat with your boss. Now, if you think on this, you might think, you know, I've been doing this character quality methods study, and I've been studying on temperance, and one of the verses there said when you eat with a ruler, now that boss is a ruler over you, isn't he? When you eat with him, consider diligently what's before thee. There's the word diligent again, all right? All right, you're going to have self-control. So when you go to the restaurant, you know, and you sit down, and your boss is taking you out to eat. Let's say your boss is taking you out, or somebody important is taking you out to eat. Somebody really important is taking you out to eat. That person is more important than you. If you were more important than them, you'd be taking them out to eat. See? And you can eat as much as you want. Right? But now, they're taking you out to eat, and they're more important than you. And it says, put a knife to thy throat, thou'll be a man given to appetite. You know, so you're sitting with your boss, say, hey, my boss is taking me out to eat, and I know this guy's got a lot of money. You know, I'm going to sit down there, and I am going to get, you know, oh, is that lobster, $26.95, you know, two tails, you know, filled with all kinds of other stuff. Yeah, I'm going to get that, you know. And let's see, I see there's an appetizer on there. You know, there's the stuffed mushrooms, you know, and then there's some crabs. I think I'll get those, you know. and there's a special salad, I think I'll get that, you know. And so now you're stuffing it all down, you know, and then there's a big, glorious dessert, you know, and now for $42.95, you've eaten real good, you're walking out of there, you can hardly move, you know, cheeks are puffed out, you see, and the guy says, you know what, I can't stand this guy. I take him out to eat, and he tries to break my bank, and eats and stuffs his face full of food, you know. Well, there it is. Now, but what you've done, but now you've been studying the Bible. You've been studying the Bible, and the Bible says you don't do that kind of thing. And so when you go to the restaurant, you say to yourself, I know this guy can afford it, and he says, get whatever you want, but you take something pretty modest, you see, and you don't eat a whole lot, and the guy thinks, hey, this person wouldn't hurt me financially, and this person, you know, has good control over their life. Why? Because God said so. There it is again, temperance, self-control. All right, we got Proverbs 25:16. Same area again. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as... See, I didn't even have to turn the page because I was right here in my Knaves. Knaves has it right here. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. All right, don't eat too much honey. You see, again, it's self-control. There's something sweet, the kind of sweet that keeps calling you back to eat more and more and more and more. It says self-control there. All right. So you can go right down through these. I put a few more in here that were not listed back in Proverbs 19:19. Let's see what that says. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Now, what are we talking about? Again, this is the opposite quality, isn't it? Of self-control is losing your temper. That's how you get the term, losing your temper, right? If you lose your temper, you've lost control over yourself. And that's what the Word of God says. So that's the opposite quality. So the man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. In other words, if you get the guy out of the scrape that he got himself into because he's got a quick temper, you're going to have to keep doing that because he has a quick temper and keeps getting into trouble. All right? Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Again, we're talking about the opposite quality of self-control, and that is that of anger. It says, don't be friends with somebody who's angry, or with a furious man. Don't go with them, because you're going to turn out to be like them. Chapter 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. What's a person who cannot control their temper? What's a city that's broken down without walls? The enemy just comes in and takes them. They have no strength. A person has no strength. All right, now, what we've done here is we have cross-referenced. There's more cross-references than this. But we have cross-referenced a certain character quality. What's the value of cross-referencing these things? What is the value? It starts to get a message to you, doesn't it? You start to have a difference about it. You know, it's just like a preacher. If a preacher says to his people, you ought to have self-control. All right, now let's go on to chapter 6. You know, you hear that, yeah, that's true. And nobody disputes the preacher. It's all right. But what good preaching, it takes that self-control and hammers it and shows with vivid clarity and power by spending time on it, that the person is convicted at the end of a half an hour that they better do something about it, you see. And your Bible study is doing the same thing. When you first do the word study and then you cross-reference it, you're starting to see the Lord speak about it in many different ways. And then the author of the book that we're following gives a number of questions to ask. And you might want to write these down, because if you ask these questions, you see, if the question is written down and then you answer it, that's going to start to have an impact on your life because you're doing the study. It's not just that you heard you ought to have self-control. Now you are sorting out yourself some good reasons. All right, what are the benefits this trait can bring you? That's question number one. There are a lot of questions here. Okay, would any of the men or boys like to answer that question? What are the benefits this trait can bring you? Self-control. What are some of the benefits of it? We've cross-referenced. We've looked at a few things. What are some of the benefits? Do you have anybody have an answer for that, Chris? Right? Okay, absolutely. Any others? Jason? Friends? Okay, that's close to what I had. Anybody else? Okay, I wrote down respect. When it's self-control, people will have a certain amount of respect for you. What are some of the bad consequences this trait can bring you? What are some of the bad consequences? No respect. No respect for sure, right? And anything else? Right? What else? Right? Yeah? Anything else? George? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that would have an effect on your thinking about it, right? All right. That's question number two. You see, you can apply these questions to any character trait that you have picked out. Number three, what are the benefits this trait can bring to others? That's a little bit harder, isn't it? It's a little bit harder to think of. See if you can think of that. But what are the benefits this trait can bring to others? Okay, right? He said, you know, it could benefit your boss. Okay. Somebody else? Yeah. And it's kind of nice to be around somebody who's not soon angry, right? Okay. Number four. You know, if you ever fall behind because I'm not thinking about your note-taking, you know, just ask me afterwards or something. Say, hey, can I see that book and copy it right out of the book? You know, we just want you to get it. So I might go too fast for you sometime or not repeat it enough. What are some of the bad consequences this trait can bring to others? What are some of the bad consequences this trait can bring to others? Again, it's a hard question. But you know what? What do hard questions do? They cause you to think. And when you finally think of the answer, it is stuck in your mind a whole lot better, isn't it? What are some of the bad consequences this trait can bring to others? Can anybody think of something? Okay, that's true, yeah. You know, what I thought of on this is that young people could pick up the same quick temper that their parents had, or lack of self-control, right? That's pretty bad. And then the parent would be very upset to see that they had a temper tantrum kid, you know, probably maybe not even realizing that they were prone to that kind of thing too. But what are some of the bad consequences this trait can bring to others? Well, that's certainly, that is probably one of the worst of consequences right there. All right, that's number four. Is there any promise from God related to this trait? That's why I read so many verses, because I had a few things in there. See? Are there any promise from God related to this trait? Can you think of any? John? Okay. You see, in some of the verses I gave, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. It's somewhat of a promise, isn't it? I mean, God says that this is what you're going to be. You're going to be in a weakened condition if you have no rule over your own spirit. Let me go back to Proverbs 22, 24 and 25. Make no friend for furious man, lest thou learn his ways. See, that's kind of a promise of God, that if you're friends with an angry person, you'll get like that person. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Now, that's a promise of God, isn't it? That's a negative promise of God. And that takes us to our next one, number six. Is there any warning or judgment related to this trait? So probably the one I just gave you is one that you want to look for a promise that's a positive promise because you have self-control. And this next one, number six, is there any warning or judgment related to this trait, is a kind of promise from God that has to do with judgment, and this one would do it. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Now, do you see when you're doing, what's happening when you're doing this study? You haven't just said, oh, self-control is good to have. And you think, well, here's an area of which if I'm gonna be a person of the quick temper, if I'm going to be a person of wrath, it says, God says I'm going to suffer punishment. Now that's going to help give you an incentive to control your temper, isn't it? That's going to give you an incentive. Why? Because you're going through and studying all of these various facets. All right. That was six. Is there a command related to this trait? All right, did you hear any command related to this trait? Remember any? All right, we started off with Proverbs 23. Okay, that when you sit with a ruler, don't eat so much. Okay? All right, well, that's 7 out of the first 13, and I would mark this, except I don't have a pen, so we can pick up the next time with the next questions. That's where we'll pick it up, because it is now, according to my watch, just about 8:15, and we're still on number 4. It's important that you write down those questions and then answer those questions. And you can see the reason. It gets you to think, and then it gets you to say, what does the Word of God say on this? And now you know a lot more about self-control, don't you? You know about the lack of self-control, the dangers of the lack of self-control, the goodness of self-control, and that the Word of God says you ought to be diligent in that area. So if you're going to have a change in character, if you're going to go from a person who lacks self-control, whether it's eating or whether it's temper or whatever area it might be in, then when your being is so saturated with the importance of it, saturated with God's warning about it, saturated with the promises about it, you've thought on these things, you've written them down, and then you say, I've got to do it, then you can change that trait in your life, which is a whole lot different than just saying self-control is good. Now you're making a conscious effort because the very character trait is you have grounded into yourself so much about that character trait that you know that that's what you want to have, and what the pitfalls are. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before Thee and we pray, dear Lord, that God's people might take 2 Peter chapter 1 very seriously, that we start to add to our faith any number of different character traits to help us to be more Christ-like, not to mention all the blessings that come with adding those character traits. I pray that God's people might work on these things and do these things so that we might all experience the blessing of being around each other that have these kind of traits. Help us in this area, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.